Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. The election season is in full swing. Candidates are once again expected to surpass 2020 spending levels on the 2024 election. On today's Your Call, we are opening the lines to find out how you want us to cover the presidential election, given so much is at stake. You can give us a call at 866-798-8255 or email yourcall@kalw.org. There's a lot going on in this country and around the globe. So how do you want us to cover where candidates stand on crucial issues like the climate crisis, abortion and reproductive rights, Israel and Palestine, taxes, inequality, Social Security? There are so many issues to talk about. Donald Trump recently told Time magazine he would let conservative states monitor women's pregnancies and prosecute those who violate abortion bans. We'll also read from that article throughout the show because there's a lot of interesting and important information in it. You can give us a call. What are your thoughts about how you'd like us to cover the election? 866-798-8255. You can also email yourcall@kalw.org. We've got a number of emails already from listeners. We also put out a newsletter asking listeners how they'd like us to cover the election. So I'd like to read from a few of these. Barbara writes in, I'm concerned about election integrity, not voter fraud, but voter suppression and the threat of violence from the right. This is a very important issue, and we've already seen a lot of violence and election officials receiving death threats, so we'll definitely continue to talk about that, Barbara. And then, of course, so much more voter suppression. The New York Times had a lengthy article about a month ago on this, so thank you for that. We've got an email from Tahir about specific issues. I have a friend with a grievous workplace injury. He has to go through the workers' comp system for his health care with attendant denials of care. If we had single payer, he would have already reached a global settlement of his claim. Healthcare is barely even getting mentioned in this election, so that is a very important one to hear. I think the other issue and question that we'd love for you all to really talk about on today's show is issues. Because of just the unprecedented nature of this election with Donald Trump running again, there's just so much attention on Trump and what he says. The issues are so important, and we talk about this a lot. How much should we focus on the violence, potential violence, versus the actual issues like healthcare? So what are your thoughts about that? We'd love to hear from you. 866-798-8255. You can also email yourcall@kalw.org. The other thing that's important to talk about is we're dealing with a major crisis in the media. We've got layoffs. There are budget cuts. So it is so important to have a show like this to really focus on actual issues. And that's why we wanted to ask you for your input. What are your thoughts about how we should cover this election? What do you want us to focus on in the coming 6 months? You can give us a call at 866-798-8255. You can also email yourcall@kalw.org. Tahir also writes, it would be good to look at the emergence of a definition of citizen in a participatory democracy. We have a public education system precisely to foster that democracy by educating people to a level to understand what's going on and why. This is another really important one to hear. I mean, we've done a lot of shows about what democracy really means that is getting so much attention right now. A lot of historians, a lot of people in the national media are talking about democracy being at stake in this country. Well, what does democracy actually mean? We'd love to hear your thoughts about that. We know that we've got an electoral college, which is completely undemocratic. We've done a lot of shows with Harvard professors Steve Levitsky and Daniel Ziblatt, who say that the United States has one of the most undemocratic systems in the world, with the Electoral College, with Supreme Court judges with no limits, with a couple of senators who have the power to dilute bills or stand in the way of legislation coming to the floor. It's a very undemocratic system. And that deserves a lot more attention beyond, of course, what Donald Trump is planning to do. But that deserves more attention. And so to hear, we will definitely continue to focus on that. Tahir also writes, Ukraine has revealed that the massive weapons spending that is nominally justified by claiming to build production lines that produce little in peace, but are capable of cranking it out in war has been shown to be a lie. No one is talking about this directly, nor the other shocking costs like money for housing for the homeless that has simply vanished without even producing public housing, let alone social housing. The disappearance of our wild lands and surface water is another major cause for concern. Well, thank you, Tahir. We regularly talk about money for weapons, the $800 billion with very little debate, and we'll definitely continue to talk about that. And then to your point about the disappearance of wild lands and surface water, yes, that is also on our list. And of course, as you know, every Monday we talk about all things related to the climate crisis. And we're dedicated to talking about that. We just don't have much time. I mean, the scientists say we've got until 2030 to drastically reduce greenhouse gas emissions. And the fact is, I mean, a number of environmental justice advocates said the initial Build Back Better law that was completely diluted by Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema was a really good bill. But we didn't get what was in the initial bill. And then if Trump comes to power, he says on his first day, you know, he goes back to the quote, drill baby drill. He just had a meeting at Mar-a-Lago with oil executives saying, give me money and I'll give you what you want. So we'd love to find out how you'd like us to talk about these issues in the coming months. You can give us a call at 866-798-8255. You can also email your call at kalw.org. Let's hear from a few callers. Let's go to Brad in San Francisco. Hi, Brad. Welcome to the show.
Yes, thank you for taking the call. I haven't really heard anyone go in depth talking about Trump's ambitions to deport what he considers to be illegal aliens, and his thoughts are that if you were born in the United States and your parents were not citizens at the time, therefore you are no longer a citizen, to overturning that, and with the Supreme Court that he has also looking in that direction, how far back is he going to go? How radical is he going to make this occur? Are we talking about people who believe, who I talk to, who say, well, that this will never happen, he can't do that, actually doing it? And we're talking about people who have been here, who are grandmothers, who are mothers who are in fact considered citizens because they were born here.
You know, to your point, let me just read something from Time magazine. This just came out, an interview by Eric Cortalesa. And this is really important. What emerged in two interviews with Trump and conversations with more than a dozen of his closest advisors and confidants were the outlines of an imperial presidency that would reshape America and its role in the world. To carry out a deportation operation designed to remove more than 11 million people from the country, Trump said he'd be willing to build migrant detention camps and deploy U.S. military at the border and inland. Trump's radical designs for presidential power would be felt throughout the country. A main focus is the southern border. He said he plans to sign orders to reinstall many of the same policies from his first term, such as the Remain in Mexico program, and then also Title 42, which allows border officials to expel migrants without letting them apply for asylum. His advisors say he plans to cite recent border crossings and fentanyl and child trafficking as justification for reimposing these emergency measures. They say it would be a massive deportation operation that would target millions of people. Tom Homan, a top Trump advisor and former acting head of ICE, said people need to be deported. No one should be off the table. So, Brad, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, so this came out last week in Time magazine, and it seems like it's getting a lot of traction. Have you seen it in major media outlets?
I have, but what I'm talking about is a totally different issue. As far as I understand, he is also advocating that All right. A mother, a couple comes to the United States. They're not U.S. citizens, but 2 years later, their child is born here in the United States. We've ruled that they are U.S. citizens by birth. He's looking to overturn that so that adoption by the Supreme Court will be reversed, so that if you are the child of immigrants, even though you were born and you were conceived and born here, you would not be no longer be a U.S. citizen.
Okay.
Therefore, you'd be eligible for deportation also.
So to your point, last May, Reuters had a piece about this. Trump said if he's elected again, he would seek an end to automatic citizenship for children born in the U.S. to immigrants in the country illegally. This would contradict a 19th century amendment to the U.S. Constitution.
That would happen. So you have parents. Their children are now doctors, lawyers, engineers, laborers, postal workers. They can now be deported because their parents were not citizens at the time. Those are the types of things that he's going to be implementing, which would completely rock the entire country.
Yes, and also a lot of this is laid out in Project 2025, which we've talked about for many months now. This is a document, a very long document that anyone can read online, that was written by the Heritage Foundation along with another other far-right organizations. And it would basically, there's a plan for, you name it. They want to rename the Department of Health and Human Services to the Department of Life. He was asked about this in Time magazine, and he said he would implement what he wants to implement. But everyone should read Project 2025, and it really deserves a lot more attention. Anything else, Brad, about how you'd like us to cover the election in the months to come?
If you don't mind, then, if I'm allowed to say, one other issue. I believe, as I understand, Trump's plans are to end the OSHA, to end the NLRB, and EPA, and all those eight regulatory agencies that are helping make lending strength to legislation that addresses the lives of our common citizens. He's looking to end those.
Well, thank you. So this is why I wanted to do this show, because I feel like these issues deserve so much more attention. So to your point, yes, I mean, under the first Trump administration, the NLRB systematically rolled back workers' rights to form unions. So many people who follow this say, forget any of the gains that were made in the last 4 years on unions, because it's as you say, he's going to roll all of this back. Yeah. Same with environmental legislation and environmental protections. He did this under his first administration. People say that it's going to be even worse this time around. And then same with OSHA. And I'm just looking at articles right now about all of this. So thank you for that, Brad. We will definitely follow these issues and cover them. Again, this is all laid out for everyone to read. It's not like a backdoor deal that's going on. Project 2025 is out there for everyone to read. And it's got details about what he plans to do on environmental rules. They want none, no regulations. The NLRB, National Labor Relations Board, OSHA, the list goes on and on. So we'll definitely continue to talk about these issues in the months to come. Thank you for calling in, Brad.
Thank you for trying to address these issues.
Thank you.
Be safe. Goodbye.
You too. Let's go next to Jackie in Santa Cruz. Hi, Jackie.
Yes.
Welcome to the show.
Yes, hi. This is woven through a number of things. The way that we are treating global sea level rise is not accurate in things that are still being used to make decisions about here, about huge buildings, instead of about how to protect people and get ready for this. So they're wanting to build 14 story, 12 story, even 18 story buildings in areas that a year ago in January, just the National Geographic sent a team of scientists to the Antarctica, and just on Western Antarctica, they showed with cameras below the ice so they could see exactly what was happening, not from airplanes, that things are breaking up to the point where we'll have 2 feet of rise just from there in the next 10 years. And they're still using these old maps and these old things that show, oh, it'll be a foot or a yard in by 2100. When and it's being used so that developers can build huge things that are and get away with their money, but people are not going to be protected.
Well, thank you. To your point, a couple of new reports have come out this week on sea level rise. One is about what's going on in the South, so this is really important. A Washington Post analysis found that a reckoning is coming for coastal communities across 8 states in the South, Texas, Louisiana, Florida, a really important piece there. But of course, since you brought up what's going on in Santa Cruz and California, there was a piece in Newsweek last month. California map shows where state will become underwater from sea level rise. Areas populous cities along California's stretch of the Pacific Ocean could be flooded or entirely consumed by water due to effects of climate change. The IPCC estimated there would be major sea level rise, an increase of 2 meters, which cannot be ruled out. The San Francisco International Airport would become entirely submerged, as would the Eden Landing Ecological Reserve near Union City. Water would also reach the outskirts of Newark and flood several blocks of Mountain View and Sunnyvale by the year 2100. And so again, this is why we're doing this show, because whoever wins in November, they are, we've had so many scientists on our show saying greenhouse gas emissions have to come down drastically by the year 2030. And the fact of the matter is, Trump met with these oil execs at Mar-a-Lago. Give me money and we'll let you do what you want to do. Drill, no regulations, no movement on the climate crisis. I'll just read from a couple of articles here. Here's one from the New York Times, April 26th, by Lisa Friedman. 5 major climate policies Trump would probably reverse if elected. Trump has vowed to cancel Biden's policies for cutting pollution from fossil fuel burning power plants, terminate efforts to encourage electric vehicles, and develop the liquid gold that is right under our feet, that's a quote, by promoting oil and gas. Those changes and others that Trump has promised, if he were to win again, represent a 180-degree shift from Biden's climate agenda. When he was in the White House, Trump reversed more than 100 environmental protections put in place by the Obama administration. Climate activists say a second Trump term would be far more damaging than his first, because the window to keep rising global temperatures to safe levels is rapidly closing. So it's a red alert. I mean, we really need to be spending more time on this. And then there's another article in The Guardian from March. Election of Donald Trump could put world's climate goals at risk, according to the UN climate chief, who said the chance of limiting global heating to 1.5 degrees above pre-industrial levels are already slim. And then based on what Trump says he plans to do, it would have a major impact on the United States and the world, because if the U.S. doesn't act, other countries do not act. So we are dedicated to covering these issues every Monday and even more on Your Call in the coming months. And we'd love to hear from you about how you'd like us to cover the presidential election, given that so much is at stake and many in the media are really dealing with a crisis. We're losing really good reporters. There's budget cuts. A lot of media outlets, public media, public radio is having a really hard time right now. So we are really grateful to have this hour to spend on these crucial issues. And today we wanted to open the lines to find out how you'd like us to cover the 2024 presidential election, given so much is at stake. You can give us a call at 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can also email yourcall@kalw.org. Speaking of the climate, we've got an email from Penny who says, Biden has done so much good that we never hear about, especially for climate change. We need to hear in simple, down-home, one-syllable words about the Inflation Reduction Act, which poured money into making and buying electric cars and training people for clean energy jobs. Also, Democratic bills, something it's abstract like the Inflation Reduction Act, instead of something clear like the Saving the World and Its Workers Act, Dems guarantee people's eyes would glaze over and turn out news about the act. Finally, we need to hear about the good bills that were blocked by right-wingers again in clear, everyday terms. Thank you for the email, Penny. Yeah, the Inflation Reduction Act, I think you're so right. A lot of people do glaze over it. It's really important if you've got any public works projects happening in your area. Chances are it's being funded by the Inflation Reduction Act. It's really important for water systems, for roads, for bridges. I mean, so many issues that deserve a lot more attention, but in the national media, it is, well, today we've got the Stormy Daniels case. That is a lot sexier than talking about bridges. Of course, the Stormy Daniels case is important, but, you know, you turn on the cable shows and it's Trump 24/7, and they're not talking about bridges and the country's infrastructure problems and what the Inflation Reduction Act is doing to improve infrastructure across the country. That is why we're doing this show today, because we really want you to raise your voice and tell us what you'd like us to cover. I mean, that's why we're here, is to really think about you all and what you'd like us to do that's different from what you're hearing in some of the major media outlets. You can give us a call at 866-798-8255. You can also email your call at kalw.org. Thank you, Penny. We will definitely do shows about the Inflation Reduction Act, and then these good bills that were blocked by the right wing. I mean, really good voting rights acts that never, ever got a hearing. It's the John Lewis Voting Rights Act. And then reproductive legislation, really good bills, pro-union bills, pro-worker bills. There's a lot of legislation that makes it partway through, but then you never hear it come up in the Senate. It's just, that's where we are right now. And now that the Republicans have, I think it's one seat now. I've been away for 3 weeks and offline, but I believe it's one seat that they have. And so it doesn't come up for a vote. And those bills that go to die also deserve more media attention. So thank you so much for that email. Let's go next to Amy in Oakland. Hi, Amy. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, and I appreciate the throwing the question out, because it's really important that we, you know, have this opportunity to voice what we think we need to see in the coverage of the elections. And I really want to say that I think what working people are starving for is any coverage of third-party candidates, left candidates, socialist, anti-capitalist candidates. And, you know, I think that I know a lot of people feel pressure to pick the lesser evil. And, you know, there's been a lot of really righteous criticism of Joe Biden with, you know, not only Israel, but also the fact that he broke the railroad strike. I mean, he's not the friend of working people that he wants us to think that he is. And I think that we just really need to have, you know, some forums where not only third-party candidates, but the movement for something outside of the Democrats and Republicans can really get a voice. And I work with the Freedom Socialist Party, and I know there's other, like I said, socialists and anti-capitalists. People that are really looking for something that's outside of just this two-party capitalist structure.
You know, can I ask you a question about this? Because I think about this a lot, Amy. I mean, given where we are right now with this undemocratic system we've got in this country, you know, I just traveled overseas and met so many people from around the world who just cannot understand why we still have the Electoral College. They just cannot believe that we don't have a winner-takes-all system. So that's one thing, but this is so tough because so much is at stake, and we know how the system works. I think I saw an article the other day. It's basically four states are going to decide this election, right? You've got, what, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan, and someone will remind me of the fourth one. But last time around, if Trump got 40,000 more votes, he would have won. And you read things like, you know, what he told Time magazine, that he's going to let conservative states monitor women's pregnancies and prosecute those who violate abortion bans. So I completely understand that you want us to talk about the third-party candidates and outside groups. What are your thoughts, given the system, this undemocratic system that we have?
I mean, I think exactly what you're saying is why it's so urgent that we bust out of just this binary system. I mean, you can look at, you know, decade after decade, election after election, voting the lesser of the two evils has moved the whole entire landscape to the right every single time, whether a Democrat or a Republican has gotten elected. So I think that, you know, it may be true that we're not going to win our liberation through, you know, a capitalist election, but if we're not promoting, like, something like a Labor Party where it's actually workers in charge, if we don't even get that, you know, that voice out there, then we know that it's not going to happen. And I mean, it's got to be grassroots and it's not going to be corporate led, but we could use the help from, you know, progressive media and so on and so forth, because I think, you know, no matter what, we're going to see a rightward shift. I mean, I'm a union member. I work for the city of San Francisco, and my contract is, you know, for years has not kept up with inflation, and they're trying to ram another similar contract down our throats. We see the writing on the wall, and I think the whole, you know, private, you know, profit system is crumbling, and we've got to take drastic measures. And I think if we're not at least, you know, promoting the possibility of, you know, something other than the Democrats rescuing us, I think that we're just really kind of sealing our own fate.
Hmm. Well, thank you so much for the call. This is so important. I appreciate it. And we'll definitely talk about the issues that you raised. I did find the article that I was thinking about. Axios had a piece about how 6% of six states will decide the election. Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Georgia, Arizona, and Nevada. And they're going to spend billions to reach voters over the next 6 months. 99.5% of us won't be deciding. These are the battlegrounds that will determine the next election. Again, such an undemocratic system. And then I wanted to also cite what I've been saying about the year 2030, because it's so important. We had Kimberly Nichols on our show last year. She wrote a book called How to Be Human in a Warming World, Under the Sky We Make. She found that we have to cut emissions by half by 2030 and then zero by 2040. And if that's the case, we have a 2 in 3 chance to stabilize warming around 1.5 degrees Celsius. And that's why I just hope the media spends more time on 2030, because the next president is going to determine whether or not this gets done. We have to take massive action on climate by 2030. It's such an important point that we really need to spend more time talking about. On today's Your Call, we are opening the lines to find out how you'd like us to cover the presidential election. There's so much noise out there. There's so many lies out there. I haven't really been following all of the AI, what we're expecting from AI. I haven't seen much of it. I hope I don't. But there's just a lot of noise out there. And so we're wondering how you'd like us to cover the presidential election, given that we have an hour, which is pretty unusual these days, an hour every day to focus on crucial issues. And any guest you'd like us to bring on, we'd love to hear from you. 866-798-8255. You can also email yourcall@kalw.org. We'll be back after this. This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. It is nice to be back. Today we are opening the lines to find out how you'd like us to cover the presidential election with so much at stake. You can give us a call at 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can also email yourcall@kalw.org. Let's go next to Renda in Berkeley. Hi, Renda. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Rose. I'm 100% behind you about covering global heating. Mm-hmm. And Amy made a very interesting point about third parties and the possibility of having a more parliamentary system where there's more representation for more points of view. But that said, I worry about this election. I don't know whether getting past the two-party stranglehold that we have here, which I think is turning out to be almost worse than a one-party system, I don't know whether we're going to get past that just by voting for third party or fourth party, whatever candidates. And I don't know. I mean, I would rather, even if Donald Trump won in the Electoral College, I would rather Joe Biden have an overwhelming victory in the popular vote. Because it's not just, I mean, I understand people who don't want to vote for him because of Gaza. And, you know, I agree that our relationship with Israel is not, they really haven't been a friend or an ally to the United States in quite a while. And
I completely feel you, and I understand what your thoughts are and what you're saying. I think what I think about a lot is just on the climate, we just don't have decades to deal with this. It's not like the year, I mean, even in 2000, we should have been dealing with this, obviously, but it's not like, well, we can do this for 4 years or 8 years and we'll figure this out in maybe 14 or 16. We just don't have time. I mean, I was just talking about the interview we did with Kimberly Nichols, and I'm looking at my notes, and she says to cut fossil fuels emissions 45%, we have to completely decarbonize electricity and heat worldwide. She says we're talking about tearing out and rebuilding within a few short years on an energy network that took centuries to build. I mean, look at what's happening in the Great Barrier Reef. They have never seen this kind of coral bleaching. We're going to do a show about that actually on Monday, about what's happening in Hawaii and Florida. And then hopefully we'll talk with someone from Australia soon. But I mean, I just went on vacation to Fiji. I got in the water. It was like a hot tub. I mean, they're lucky because they don't have to deal with overdevelopment and a lot of people and chemicals like so many other parts of the world. But they're dealing with heating waters, and they have stunning coral reefs. And it's just devastating to see some of these reefs just turn white because they are bleaching because of warming waters. I mean, scientists say they cannot believe what we are seeing with warming waters. So I just feel like we just don't have time. So I just wonder what your thoughts are about these issues and how you want us to talk about this, because it's just, I feel like it's a wild time to be alive. We have so much information about what we need to do, and yet we're going backwards on so many issues. I'd love for listeners, especially those of you who fought for reproductive rights for your lives, you know, in the 60s and the 70s, where we are right now. I mean, again, to think that Trump says conservative states can monitor women's pregnancies and then prosecute those who violate abortion bans. I mean, this is very dangerous. We're already seeing this happening across the country. All right, I will stop talking. Thank you for the call, Brenda. We have a number of listeners. We'd love to hear your thoughts about how you'd like us to cover the presidential election and what issues you'd like us to focus on, what angles you'd like us to take. Let's go next to Alyssa in San Anselmo. Hi, Alyssa. Welcome to the show. Sorry, Alyssa. If you give us a call back, we'll bump you to the front, to the beginning. Let's go to Russ in Sunnyvale. Hi, Russ. Did we lose Russ? Hello, Russ. Are you there? We've got full lines. All right. Sorry about that, Russ. Let's go to Betsy in Alameda. Hi, Betsy.
Oh, hi. Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes. Go ahead.
I'd like to speak to the comment that the listener made a few minutes ago about voting for third parties, and I think that it was something that you kind of wanted to lead her to. I myself am not, am far more progressive than Joe Biden. I volunteered for Elizabeth Warren in the last election and, of course, was disappointed by her showing, but, you know, that's the way it goes. We know that third parties, particularly in a presidential election, take votes away from the incumbent, and particularly progressive third parties, but even somebody by the name of Kennedy is likely to take votes away from Joe Biden. And then where do we end up? We end up with Donald Trump again. And that is suicidal. So I would suggest that people who are really supportive of third parties work from a grassroots level in their local elections, build up support that way, so that it doesn't come down to this kind of winner-take-all and also spoiler situation that we would find if we have a third party, you know, a strong third party run, or even a relatively weak third party run in the next election, because that would just be devastating, absolutely devastating to this country if Donald Trump wins again, and that's what it's going to be. You know, I also, as far as what you cover, I'm really tired of the media covering not the issues, but the presidential election as a horse race, you know, so that we can all wring our hands over the polls instead of talking about the issues and the differences, the true differences in the candidates, and also covering Donald Trump like a celebrity and everything he does. I mean, he is, you know, good copy for sure, but it's so disheartening to me.
Mm. You know, well, thank you for
that. We wonder why democracy is so messed up. Well, this is why.
Right. Well, and to your point, because we're getting a few emails about RFK, and I was just curious to see what he's been saying lately, Robert F. Kennedy. Politico has a piece, Robert Kennedy pivots right on climate change but sharpens his threat to Biden. It says that he criticizes the size of Biden's mammoth subsidies for green energy, has not committed to keeping the administration rules aimed at cutting greenhouse gas pollution from vehicles and power plants, and RFK hired a communications director who criticized hysteria around global warming. And then Naomi Klein had a piece about him in The Guardian, and it says RFK has not come out in favor of a wealth tax. He's brushed off universal public health care as not politically realistic. And then Reuters interviewed him recently. RFK offered staunch support for Israel in a Reuters interview, calling it a, quote, moral nation that was justly responding to Hamas provocations with its attacks on Gaza, and questioned the need for a six-week ceasefire backed by Biden. So interesting information about RFK, because we're getting a lot of emails saying, please cover RFK. So I just was curious to find out what he's been saying lately. So there are a few examples. Thank you for that, Betsy. And great points. And this is something that I think is really important to think about, given how much is at stake in this upcoming election. Let's go next to Pat in San Francisco. Hi, Pat. Welcome to the show. Oh, is Pat still there?
Can you hear me?
Oh, hi, Pat.
Hi. I'm sort of echoing what the woman who just spoke said, but I've also been reading about the Electoral College and the way it works with a third-party candidate in the race, in that if no one gets a majority of the Electoral College, the House of Representatives elects the president, and each state has one vote, only one vote per state, which at this point in time potentially means I don't think that will happen this year, but it's just when people talk about third party candidates, I know that I've always voted for the lesser of two evils, because the prospect of having a Republican House of Representatives elect Trump as president is not the right thing for the world right now. We don't have time. To the points that you've been making about climate change.
Right. Well, thank you for that. It's a really important point that deserves more attention. If no one gets a majority in the Electoral College, as Pat says, the House of Representatives elects the president from the candidates who receive the most electoral votes. Really important point. Thank you so much, Pat. Let's go next to Lena in Berkeley. Hi, Lena.
Hi, Rose. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Hi, thanks for having this conversation. I've been working on elections since Trump was elected in 2017, both as an artist and fundraising for voting organizations, and I think it would be awesome to have conversations with some of the heads of the grassroots BIPOC-led voting organizations working in swing states right now that will really make or break this election. So I've just come after all these years of this work, I've come to really understand that the best way to both have better outcomes on all the issues we care about and better outcomes for elections is to support these groups that are working on voter engagement in their own communities, but also working on issues. So they're really, I just want people to hear that there's actually a way to be involved in this election through a social justice lens, even if you don't support Biden and what's happening in Gaza. And you can do it by supporting organizations rather than candidates. And there are organizations working so hard in all of those swing states for everything that we care about right now. And they're also, you know, working in their own communities to register new voters. So it's a way that you can participate in this election without directly supporting Biden if you don't agree with him, but still ensuring that Trump doesn't win. Mm-hmm. And so there's a whole list of organizations, but Flip the Vote is supporting 7 organizations in these critical swing states that will really make or break the election. I don't know if you've heard of Lucha in Arizona, but they're awesome. They registered 22,000 voters in 2022, and the governor won by 17,000 votes against an election denier. So if Lucha hadn't been working, doing that work, we would have lost Arizona. In any case, like, we can support these groups, and they are all led by people of color. So you're also supporting, like, racial justice, equality in our country for the long haul. So I just want to say that, like, I think people feel so distraught for good reasons about this election coming up, but there's, like, a way to be involved in it that you can feel good about. Mm-hmm. And it's really important that people know that. And then just the last thing about, you know, the third party, like, it's a great idea. It would be great in the future, but it's not reality for this election. And the reality is, if we don't work on this election and be sure that Trump is defeated, we will end up with Trump and things will be worse, not only in our country, but around the world. And particularly for people in Gaza, if Trump is elected, how much worse will it get? And I just think there's a lot of denial around what's actually happening. And I understand the, like, lack of enthusiasm for these particular two people, but it's really about a lot more than that, the bigger picture. So anyway.
Yeah, thank you so much. And we're definitely planning to go to swing states, like you said, and talk with grassroots organizers on the ground. You just reminded me of a show I did right before I left for vacation with Dwight Bullard, an organizer in Florida, and Gabrielle Perry, an organizer in Louisiana. And we were talking about restrictions on abortion, on banning books, on restricting LGBTQ rights. And they're on the front lines of all of this. And they said something that I think deserves so much more attention. They said, look, we are the test cases for these laws. They are coming for you too. Even if you live in California, if someone like Trump is elected, they want these laws to be passed at the national level. So it is so important to go to these states to find out, you know, how people are dealing with this. I mean, well, in Arizona, of course, there was that reinstatement of the 1864 abortion ban. Democrats and 2 Republicans decided to get rid of that. But that's what we're dealing with. Florida, 6-week abortion ban went into effect on May 1st. 2,700 books targeted for removal from libraries. These are the policies that Trump and the far-right Republicans want to pass nationally. So your point is so well taken, and we're definitely going to be going to these swing states to talk to organizers about what is happening in Arizona and Michigan and Georgia. It speaks to the question by Morgan, who writes, considering what you just mentioned about the election being determined by such a small percentage of states, I'd love to learn about organizations locally or nationally that Californians can support via donations or volunteer hours. What can one's dollar or time go, or where can one's dollar or time go the furthest? What do voters' rights advocates in those 6 states need from us before this November? Thank you for that. Yes, we'll do a lot of shows around these states. Again, we're talking Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Georgia, Arizona, and Nevada. So thank you so much for that important call. Let's go to Alyssa in San Anselmo. Hi, Alyssa.
Hey there. So What is it about Donald Trump that attracts all these people? He can do no wrong. It doesn't matter, Stormy Daniels. They don't care what he does. What is the appeal? And I would like the Democrats to, because we have a two-party system, and at this point, I don't even think it's, I mean, I'm wondering why we even have a two-party system instead of a council. But the Democrats need to address what it is that's attracting these people and somehow also get their ear. We are a divisive people, you know, as a race. And there's, as you said, you know, there's so many things going wrong with the planet and with people's behaviors. And I think all of that makes it possible for someone like Trump to even be in the picture. I mean, just the very fact that he can be running for president is a gobsmack. Yeah.
Well, thank you for the call. I mean, the first thing that came to my mind when you mentioned your comment is the tax cuts. I mean, he's put such an incredible coalition together when you think about it. He's got the Davos crowd, ultra wealthy people who just want tax breaks. Trump has said that if he wins again, he is going to, I want to make sure I've got this right, so I need to look this up. But it was either extending or making permanent the tax cuts that he first passed. I mean, to think about the corporate tax rate going from 35% to 21%, I mean, George W. Bush couldn't even do that. So that was massive, giving a tax cut to the ultra wealthy and corporations. He's going to continue that. And then he's got the hardcore religious right and the Christian nationalists on his side around abortion. I mean, here's the Stormy Daniels case. And yet the Christians are on his side. The Christian nationalists are on his side because of, you know, his sellout on abortion. I mean, it's just a really incredible variety of people backing him. And then, of course, immigration, people who just cannot stand immigrants and want immigrants out of the country. He's got them on their side. So, you know, 74 million votes last time. Some say he might get more. And then the other thing is half the country still doesn't vote. So the Poor People's Campaign is doing such good organizing around this, saying that low-income people and poor people, if more people voted 5% more, they could change the course of the country. The Reverend William Barber is doing amazing work on these issues. And again, poverty hardly gets attention and inequality. So we're definitely going to have him on. He's got a new book coming out about the myth of I have to look up the name of the book, but it's a brand new book about these issues that are so important. I just want to find this because it's so important. It's about a myth about poverty, and he just talks about, you know, what we hear in the media about poverty. I think we don't have time. I'm sorry. We've got a number of emails saying, please focus on issues, Social Security, focus on issues, not the horse race. Point out how the mainstream media only focuses on horse race details devoid of the important issues that will be ignored by the two corporate parties. Art writes, this election is so crucial. If Trump gets elected, we'll see unprecedented changes to our government in the direction of less democracy. I would like to see coverage that lays out exactly what Trump says he's going to do and compare it to what Biden's going to do. We need to encourage people who care about democracy to get out and vote. Some breathing room. Don't shut the door on democracy. Ted says, please consider hosting a panel of teenagers or college-aged people to talk about the campaign as it develops. They will have thought-provoking comments. Please talk more about voter suppression. So these are all great ideas. Thank you so much. I'm sorry we didn't get to all of your phone calls. We've got a lot more emails coming in. Why is Biden allowing Israel to continue the genocide that has resulted in almost 40,000 Palestinians killed, says Kevin. Thank you for that. We're going to definitely continue talking about this. And then a lot more people are asking us to talk about what's at stake with the climate. We are so dedicated to doing that every Monday. Next week, we're going to talk about coral reefs. I said earlier that the Great Barrier Reef has never seen this much bleaching before and very hot temperatures in our ocean. So we'll definitely continue to talk about that. If you've got any other ideas at any time, you can email us yourcall@kalw.org. And thank you so much for your suggestions. We've got a long list and we will definitely do these shows in the months to come. Thanks to Kevin Vance for engineering our show today. And thank you so much for all of your ideas and suggestions. Thanks for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's your call.